times over the course of the New Testament. Depending on the translation you have, it might say, "Verily I say unto you," or "Truthfully I say unto you," or "I tell you the truth." But Jesus took the extra energy, the extra breath, to add an extra level of assurance to this man who was dying and this man who was looking at Jesus Christ for hope. And he says, "I'm going to tell you something, and it's true." And we know that if Jesus Christ said it, that it's true, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. If anything is true, it can be traced back to him. He says, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." As is to be expected, there's going to be some different ways to understand certain details of this passage, but here is what we know. Jesus Christ, being God, being the creator of the world we live in, reality, and history itself, he knows what is going to happen. And he knows that today, this man, this repentant thief on the cross next to him, is going to die. And he gives him assurance, "Truthfully, I tell you, today, before this day is done, you will be with me," a guarantee. He is giving a huge guarantee, because this man placed faith in Jesus as Savior and King, that this man, this very day after he dies, will be with Jesus. And Jesus even tells us where, and this is where some of the disagreement within translations lie, in paradise. Whenever you run across something strange in the Bible, you look at the way it's used in other places to figure out a more clear understanding. With this phrase, "in paradise," it only shows up two other places. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when the Apostle Paul is speaking about a man who has an outer body type of experience, and it shows up in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. In both instances, they refer to whatever we experience after death, in the presence of God. Jesus says he will be here with this person, and the one thing we as Bible believers can have the fullest confidence in is that being with Jesus in paradise is far superior to the alternative. There are two thieves in this story. And with the events of today, I've had to cut out a lot of material to try to end on time. But it is interesting, and I believe no coincidence, that during the crucifixion, there are two men present who embody the only two mindsets that people can have towards Jesus Christ. You can either rebel against him and mock him as the rest of the world does, or if God intervenes and changes your heart, you can repent and recognize you are a sinner. And you can recognize that the bad things happening are in some sense deserved, but Jesus Christ is innocent. And just as the thief on the cross next to Jesus repented and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," you and I have that same opportunity now. So I ask you this as we close the message itself, and I'll close us with prayer in just a moment. Out of those two thieves, representing those two mindsets, which one is more like you today? Are you living in a state of rebellion about who Jesus is and what place he should have in your life as the Messiah and King? Are you going to rebel against that, or are you going to be like the repentant thief we examined today and have assurance that just as he got to be with the Lord Jesus in paradise, so you and I have that same assurance today? Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, you give us many good things. You give us hope. You answer prayers. You are at work in our lives in ways that we simply do not understand and cannot understand fully. Father, for the season of rejoicing that my family personally is experiencing, we thank you. And I ask that you would just help us enjoy this season, but not lose sight of eternity. And I ask that of everybody here. Father, you give us a limited amount of time to serve you here and to reach a lost and dying world. And I ask that you would help all of us make the most of this opportunity. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.